What would you sooner do, go out for a run in the cold or stay at home in a hot bath? And what if we told you the hot bath was, in crucial respects, as good for you as the cold run? Which is not entirely correct, but it's more correct than you might think. And rather than dissuading people from exercising, the point here is that there are people who, for one reason or another, have trouble exercising. But many of them could possibly ease themselves into some hot water. Quite a lot of research has gone on in this area in recent times, the latest by a team at Coventry University in the UK. Charles Stewart joins us from its School of Clinical and Exercise Sciences. Hello, Charles.
Hi, Jim. Thanks for inviting me.
Nice to talk to you. So research shows that soaking in a hot tub can mimic many of the health benefits of exercise. That's it in a nutshell, really, Charles?
Yeah, that's correct. On the one hand, heat therapy is very similar to exercise in regards to improving cardiovascular health, or at least it looks that way at the moment. But it's also important to highlight that heat therapy can't mimic all the health benefits of exercise.
Yes, indeed. And that's important to emphasise right at the get-go. But what is the science behind this? Can you briefly outline it for us?
Yeah, so if you think about when you go for a jog, a run or a cycle, you get fundamental physiological responses. So you get an increase in body temperature, increase in heart rate and an elevation in blood flow. And these acute responses also occur when you get in the hot tub or when you bathe in the sauna. So the idea behind it is heat therapy is essentially mimicking exercise. And if we can repeat these responses over a long period of time, this may eventually result in improvements in cardiovascular health.
Yes, increase in blood flow, body temperature and heart rate. And it might, I was reading from your research, promote cell growth as well as, you know, improving cardiovascular health, it would suggest, but even acting as an antidepressant too. I found that interesting.
Yeah, so the health benefits are quite extensive. Obviously, it's a very early area of research in terms of what we're doing, but in terms of antidepressant benefits, I think a big factor is related almost to the communal bathing aspect, if you like. Obviously, temperature has a role to play as well as an antidepressant, but I think being there with your friends, bathing together, is definitely one of the main contributors.
Yeah, and even just being by yourself in a hot bath, you can't help but relax in a way, although, you know, whether that is antidepressive, but it's certainly relaxing. But I want to get to the baths versus tubs and so on with you. You don't lose weight in a hot bath or in a sauna, though, do you? I think you've found this. You can't really sweat weight off, contrary to what some people think.
Yeah, so that's correct. So you can lose superficial weight. So you do sweat a lot, but this weight is just replaced rapidly after getting out of the tub through rehydrating yourself and eating. If we compare the energy expenditure between exercise and heat therapy, there's about a tenfold difference there. So if you're looking for improvements in weight, heat therapy is probably not the way forward.
A good one third of people in the UK, I think, don't do the recommended 150 minutes of vigorous exercise a week, and it would be pretty much the same here.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's kind of one of the main rationales behind our research at Coventry University at the moment, because we're not specifically looking at heat therapy alone, but we're looking to combine exercise with heat therapy. So we are having participants come into the lab and they're going for a 30-minute cycle and then they're jumping in the hot tub straight after. And the idea behind this is that we can extend the physiological responses and potentially induce greater health benefits when this is repeated over a long period of time, but also get the benefits that only exercise can induce. For example, as you just mentioned, weight loss, but there's also factors related to muscle mass and bone strength as well, which exercise is likely more beneficial at improving.
Yeah, understood. You scan their arteries too, I think, Charles.
Yeah, that's correct. So we use vascular ultrasound, and this is a good way to measure the blood flow, which in itself is an important response for the physiological adaptations that happen in your blood vessels. So what occurs here is as you get an increase in blood flow, you get an increase in friction on the blood vessel wall. And this friction results in the release of molecules which can improve blood vessel health eventually.
Okay. And you looked at the use of saunas and hot baths in different cultures too, all over the place.
Yeah. So if you go to Scandinavia, they're a big fan of Finnish sauna bathing. And if you go to Japan, for example, they prefer hot springs. So it's important to emphasize that both strategies are likely to result in improvements in health.
I read from your research in Finland alone there are 3 million saunas in a country with a population of 5.5 million. That's a lot of saunas.
Yeah, it is indeed. It's unbelievable.
Charles Stewart is joining us from Coventry University's School of Clinical and Exercise Sciences. So the bottom line here, Charles, is that you can tell people till you're blue in the face that they need to exercise, but a sizable percentage of them won't. So you're looking for different health strategies in a sedentary world, in a way, aren't you?
Yeah, that's spot on, Jim. We need to find these new strategies because we know sedentary behaviour is a major cause of increasing the risk of cardiovascular disease. And the traditional therapies that we have available, such as exercise, medication, following a healthy diet, aren't traditionally well adhered to. So we need to find strategies that the general public are willing to follow.
It's interesting about traditional wisdom here, isn't it? Because we always knew about the hot pools in ancient Rome or the saunas in Finland, but the benefits, I think, until recently were only anecdotal. I mean, people swore by them, but many of us possibly thought they were just refreshing and recuperative rather than genuinely health-giving and remedial. What happened when they studied men in Finland? Because that's interesting.
It was an observational study, and they followed participants over around about 30 years. And what they saw is that they saw that individuals that participated in higher frequencies of sauna bathing actually had a reduction in the risk of cardiovascular disease.
Wasn't there also a significant reduction in dementia risk too?
There was indeed. That is a very new area of research. We're not 100% sure why that's the case. But again, I think it illustrates the holistic benefits of heat therapy and its potential as a therapeutic strategy.
Because presumably cardiovascular disease is mainly caused by diseases of the artery. So that's where the improvements in blood vessel health from heat come from.
Yep. So if we start looking at the big picture, you have your arteries, you get your improvements there, but you can also go all the way down to your capillaries. So they're the small networks that supply your muscle and your body with oxygen. And actually you can get an increase in what's known as capillary density. And when this is repeated over a period of time, this might be one of the main reasons why heat therapy can improve cardiorespiratory fitness as well.
Interesting also that you're mentioning the production of molecules in the blood that help repair us, essentially. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, fundamentally, that is their role. They can result in many vascular benefits that are likely to reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease, we think.
Okay. There is a catch here, isn't there, in terms of, well, I don't know about a catch, but people make comparisons, and of course you compare a hot tub with a sauna with a hot bath, and they're not the same things, are they?
So if we're comparing sauna with hot tubs, obviously you don't have the hydrostatic pressure. So that's the water pressure when you get into the tub. And this alone could have some benefits, especially with cardiac stress and potential adaptations there. Because when you get into the tub, this water pressure assists with blood flow back to the heart, which obviously sauna won't be able to do.
No, but the heat in the sauna's obviously doing something.
Yeah, 100%. The heat as a general stimulus will result in some form of health benefit.
And Charles, it was the hot tubs that lowered blood glucose levels in patients with type 2 diabetes?
Yeah. And they saw that in type 2 diabetics, there was an improvement in glucose regulation. Obviously, the caveat with that study itself is that these individuals already have a high level of glucose in circulation. So it might be easier to reduce this. But going forward, it'd be interesting to see. And I know there's some research going on out there at the moment, but it'd be interesting to see if it's just as effective with type 2 diabetics.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask you about the heat? Because you can keep a bath at home hot, but you have to keep adding water. Whereas time in the tub, whatever time you choose, the water stays at the heat it is when you get in. And is that important?
As you mentioned, water temperature doesn't remain stable. But that's not to say you won't get health benefits from going in your bath at home, because you still get the initial elevation in temperature. You can also keep the tap running, which will obviously benefit things. But we currently don't know the minimal stimulus in regards to improving health. So it could be the case that the standard tub at home could do the trick still.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that's quite heartening, because that's what more people have access to. The heat may also deal to that kind of chronic low-grade inflammation that some people get, especially during winter months. It may have benefit there.
Yeah, so one of the responses to heat is the release of anti-inflammatory molecules within the blood. And much like your blood flow response, when this is repeated over a long period of time, this can potentially lower chronic low-grade inflammation, which is obviously really important, because inflammation itself underpins cardiovascular disease to quite a large extent. But again, I think further research is needed in this area in the future to make these findings conclusive.
There's a lot of good news here. You have to watch out for the effect of heat, though, don't you?
Yeah, so there is the potential for some negative side effects, especially if you're working or bathing at higher temperatures. For instance, you can become dehydrated, so we recommend that you drink plenty of water before going in the tub and during being in the tub or the sauna. Also, you can get a reduction in blood pressure, which is transient in nature when you get up out of the tub, which can in turn result in dizziness. And I'm sure many people and many of your listeners have already experienced this. So it's important to make sure you're getting out of the tub or the sauna carefully and not too quickly.
Charles, you mentioned even the immediate beneficial effect of a hot bath, but doing all this stuff regularly is the key. Can you explain a bit about that?
Yeah, exactly. So much like exercise, it's a repeated stimulus that will result in improvements in health.
Your best guess in a sauna or a hot tub or even in the bath would be what, 2 or 3 times a week over a reasonably sustained period? Do we know?
The short answer is that we don't currently know. I would love to tell you that you need this temperature for this long and this many times per week, but it's very complex. But current evidence suggests that in hot tubs anyway, 30 to 60 minutes, 3 to 5 times per week at around about 39 to 40 degrees can improve health. But it's also important to highlight that we don't currently know the minimal dose, as I mentioned earlier. So it could be the case that lower temperatures and shorter durations will also induce these health benefits.
Yeah. In fact, anything, I don't mean just one off, but any exposure sounds like it could be useful. And the research will only get better at narrowing all that down.
Yeah. So if we look at the context of exercise, research in relation to exercise has built up over a period of decades. Heat therapy has only just set off, and we still have a lot more work to do.
Heat therapy in general seems to be a big new research area, Charles.
And I think it's in response to the fact that we know that everyone's becoming gradually more sedentary as we move into the modern era, and we do need to find new interventions that they're willing to follow to improve health.
And it's not just the unwilling, finally, is it? Heat therapy in general would seem to be a blessing for people who can't exercise, you know, because of pain in particular.
Yeah. A good example is peripheral artery disease. They often suffer with lower leg pain during exercise, so they often have to terminate exercise early. If we were to apply heat therapy, it has the potential to be a gateway therapy for these individuals to enhance future further exercise participation.
Great research, Charles, and thank you very much for making yourself available to chat to us about it.
Thanks, Jim.
Charles Stewart from the School of Clinical and Exercise Sciences at Coventry University in the UK.